this on?
It's on.
I'm going to be sharing some thoughts with you this morning. But before we do, why don't we start with a word of prayer? I'd really like to do that if I could. Father, we pause at the beginning of this week and we acknowledge that you are God Almighty. And we acknowledge, Lord, that you've carried us safely through a weekend. And Father, you know where we've been and what we've done and who we are. And Lord, you love us in spite of all that. And so this morning, Father, we commit our hearts to you. I commit mine to you and pray that today would be a turning point in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, I always consider it a privilege to get an opportunity to talk to the students. I love talking to the 160 that I have every day, but it's a real joy for me, honest to goodness, to be able to talk to the whole student body. You know, as they were holding that shirt up this morning, I started thinking, and the yearbook was being advertised last week, and I began to think, you know, high school is a time of memories. You carry with you for the rest of your life things that you did and things you saw and people you knew when you were in high school. And a lot of times the memories that are real embarrassing to you now become quite humorous the longer you are out of high school. And I was thinking this weekend about some of the more embarrassing things that happened to me in high school, and there was quite a few. And I remember one thing, though. You know, when I was in high school, this was back in the, a long time ago, and we dressed the same way that you dress now. We wore penny loafers and topsiders and pleated pants, and cuffs are coming back in, I just found out, and Oxford shirts and Georgetown ties and herringbone blazers and houndstooth and Glen plaid. And the only thing that was different that the guys wore, and I strongly suspect it will change here pretty soon because there's a few trendsetters in the audience and they like to be a 6-8 months ahead of everyone else. We used to wear wingtips, and some of your dads wear those. They're a real heavy shoe and have a wing on the end, and it was a real collegiate shoe, and we used to have 3 or 4 pair of those and 3 or 4 pair of penny loafers. And it was a real hard and heavy shoe. And I had this little trick that I used to do all the time. Got me a lot of attention, got a lot of laughs. I've even done it around here, and it still is pretty comical, where you walk into a room, and you pull the door open, and you pull it real hard, and you let the door hit the tip of your shoe, and it makes a big crash, and then you pretend like you got hit in the head, and everyone laughs, and it's real funny. Well, after school, we used to go down to this place about 2 miles from the high school I went to. The high school is about 600 students. It was a little bit larger than this one, 9 through 12. It was a private high school. And we used to go down there after this one place afterwards and sit around and listen to music and drink Cokes and milkshakes. And it was a real neutral ground for a guy to get to meet a girl, you know, if you were a little bit scared, because most of us are when we're in high school and we usually ask our friends, you think she likes me and you know, and all this. And it was a real neutral place where you could go and meet a girl. So the funny thing about this place was in order to get in the door, you had to walk past this enormous window. It was about the size of the stage. And the girls used to sit up in front, right in the booths near the window, because then they could see all the guys come past the window and get a good look at them. And the guys all knew that the girls sat there. And when the guys came by, see, guys have a certain walk, and I'm probably blowing the cover for a few guys in the school, but guys, when they're putting on the cool for a girl to see, they always look down. They never look around or look ahead. They always look down so they can walk like this when they walk by. Now, guys, also, I don't know how we can do this, but when you're in high school, you can walk looking down like this, and both of your eyes are focused in different directions, scanning to see all the girls that are watching you put on the cool as you walk by. So here I was, and this particular girl that I was interested in was in the front booth. I was coming around the corner, and, man, I was going to put on the cool. So I was putting on the cool, walking by. She saw me. I saw her see me. She didn't know that I knew that she knew I was walking by and that I knew she knew. And I was going by like this. Cool, and I came around, and I thought, Shaka, you really want to put the cool on this girl? Do your shoe trick on the door. And when she laughs, you can walk in, kind of laugh with her, and slide into the booth and say, hey, what's happening? Okay? So, I came around the corner, putting on the cool. She was looking at me. I knew it, and I was feeling real good. I came around, and I was really going to do the door this time. I grabbed that puppy, and I yanked it as hard as I could, and the tip of my wingtip went through the lower left-hand corner of the glass panel, and the whole glass window fell right out of the door. And the manager came running over to me. All the girls were laughing, and it was not cool for me. And there's all kinds of memories like that. My best friend had me look out the right rear window of his Thunderbird as we were cruising by where all the girls were because he told me there was a noise coming from the wheel. And I did, and as I did, he hit the electric window switch and locked me in the window. And I went by all the girls, and they were pointing. There goes Shaka, and they're laughing at me. So, you know, high school is a time of memories, and some of you have had some of those embarrassing moments, and right now, if you think about them, you almost cry. But when you get out of high school, and some of you will, then you'll begin to laugh, and you just look back. You know, and thinking about that, I was in class the other day. We had a reduced number of students due to a field trip, and I said I did this. I said, you know, since we've only got half the class here, I'll let you ask me any question you want about myself. And one of my students looked at me, and she asked me a question that was probably one of the most penetrating questions that's ever been asked to me in my life. And she said, Mr. Shaka, what do you regret most from high school? What do you regret most from high school? And I didn't have to think for a second. I knew right away, just like that. It came to the head of front of my face, top of my brain. The thing I regret the most in high school was that I single-handedly destroyed a girl that, as far as I know, the last 5 years I heard was still not recovered from what I did. And the thing that I remember about high school, as far as the funny stuff goes, is those embarrassing moments, but there's some serious things. And one of them is this, and I'm going to share some thoughts with you this morning, and I dare say if you take to heart what I'm going to share with you, could very well change your life. And if you don't, it could change your life as well. And it's all going to center around one thought, and that thought is this, that the relationships you have and the things you do and the people you know in high school never outlive the consequences of what you do. You sit with your friends now. Some of you are sitting with guys and girls that you are interested in and maybe even are dating. I can dare say that 6 years from now, the people that you're sitting next to will not be a part of your life. But the consequences of the choices you make regarding those people, especially guys and girls, those consequences will be with you. They always outlive the relationship. And this morning I want to share some thoughts with you. We've only got about 25 minutes, but I want to share some thoughts with you in one particular area, and that's in the area of relationships, guy-girl relationships, particularly in the area of sex. And I want to share some thoughts with you that I want you to listen carefully to. I'm going to talk to you about what I call the laws of the jungle, the laws of the jungle. And there's three of them. We'll go through them one at a time, and I'm going to try and lay them out before you as clearly as I can. These laws come out of my life. It doesn't come out of some book I read. Most of you know, those of you that know me well, know that I really screwed up in high school and college. I made a mess of my life. So I'm talking to you as a person who has been to the sewer and back, okay? These are not theoretical ideas. The first law of the jungle is what I call the law of differences. The law of differences. And what do I mean? Well, simply this. God made guys and girls differently. And I'm not talking about body contour, length of hair, smell of perfume, and that kind of obvious stuff. I'm talking about the fact that inherently and intrinsically, there's something very, very different about guys and girls. And most of you don't know what that is. And here's what it is. It has to do with the way a guy and a girl interprets and projects love. One of the major differences between guys and girls is the way they interpret and they project love. Mary Calderon has really summarized this. I want you to listen carefully to this. This may be one of the heaviest things that you'll hear come out of my mouth all year. She says this, a girl plays at sex for which she's not ready because what she fundamentally wants is love. A girl plays at sex for which she's not ready because what she fundamentally wants is love. A guy plays at love for which he's not ready because what he fundamentally wants is sex. A girl plays at love, she's not ready for it because at sex, she's not ready for it because what she really wants is love. A guy plays at love for which he's not ready because what he fundamentally wants is sex. So what does that mean, practical terms? It means this. It means that a girl in a relationship, a guy-girl relationship, the girl thinks of that relationship in terms of friendship, of commitment, of sharing, of depth, of romantic love. And she projects the relationship she has in the present into the future. You talk to a girl, I know how the girls talk because I've talked to hundreds of them in the last 6 years. When they meet a guy and something happens and it's special, they begin talking among themselves, or at least with their close friends, about, well, maybe we'll go to the banquet together. Maybe we'll do this. And they project it into the future, and it's romantic. And it's sharing. And a girl wants a guy to talk to and to listen to her because she thinks of it in terms of relationship. The guy, on the other hand, is a little bit different, isn't he? And this is the strange thing, and this is why, girls, you get burned. This is why guys don't get burned in relationships and girls do. A guy knows that a girl ultimately wants love. And so he plays at it. He uses phrases. He uses techniques to communicate to her that he loves her, which he's not ready for. Because ultimately in the back of a guy's mind is a physical desire for a physical involvement. I'm convinced of that because if you look through the scriptures, the commands to men always involve feeling. Husbands, love your wives. Be considerate with your slaves. Don't overcorrect your children. Don't exasperate your children. Men, learn how to love. We don't know how. What did Jesus say about men looking at women lustfully? Why didn't he say that about women? Woman, if you look at a man lustfully, Jesus never said that. Why? A woman doesn't think that way normally. What does that mean? That means this, ladies, when a guy walks up to you and you've been dating and he says, I'm in love, you can look him straight in the eye and say, you're not in love, you're in heat. Because that's really the truth. The law of differences. A guy plays at love, which he's not ready for, because what he ultimately wants is sex. A girl plays at sex. She will give in to a guy, but thinking, maybe if I surrender a certain part of my body to him, he will give me what I want, and that's love. And so when the relationship's over, what happens? The girl didn't get what she wanted, but the guy did. Huh? He did. That's why the girl gets hurt, and the guy doesn't get hurt, usually. Okay? That's the law of differences. Crucial for you to know that. If a guy tells you he loves you, he might think that, but he doesn't. It's interesting to me, in talking with the older girls in the school, how many of them are dating older guys out of high school. Real interesting to me. Okay? So what's the ramifications of this law of differences? Now that I've talked about the boys and probably become the most hated man in the school, the ramifications are that two things. One is that, you know, there's a study been done on the top 7 lines that guys use on girls. Tell me if you've heard any of these before. Now, this is a national survey. Now, I may be blowing the cover for a lot of guys, but that's the breaks, huh? Here's the first one. If you really loved me, you would. And you know that's true for a girl? If a girl really loves a guy, she will. But what the guy is saying is, if you really love me, you will, but I don't really love you. I'm just playing at love because here's what I want. Second one, everybody's doing it. That's not true. Everybody's not. I'm so excited I can't stop. That's a third line. Okay? I've often wondered what would happen if a girl said, my parents are home right then. A guy would, that's not true, is it? He'd stop. Or let's go upstairs. Or if you stay overnight, I promise you I won't touch you. It's too late to go home. Or if you get pregnant, I'll marry you. Wrong. Or you won't get pregnant. And oddly enough, another one that just takes girls off guard is, you have beautiful eyes. And when a guy says that to a girl, she's, well. Thank you. Okay, the next time you hear one of those, you look your friend in the eye and you say, you know what? That's a line. And you use that line on me again in your history. Okay? But what does that mean for girls? It means one thing, if it doesn't mean two, I guess. Flirting's a serious thing, ladies. Flirting's not a game. To a girl who thinks romantically, flirting's a game. To a guy who thinks sexually, flirting is an advertisement that there's a strong possibility that there's sexual availability with this young lady. So if you're a flirt and you think it's a game, it's not. And secondly, and I say this with as much tenderness as I can, please be careful how you dress. I have girls come to me that are to counsel, and they're frustrated because the guy only seems to be interested in physical things. And that's precisely the advertising she gave him. Girl wants a guy to be interested in her for herself. Well, then don't use that kind of bait with a guy. All right? How many buttons you got unbuttoned this morning on your blouse? That's a serious thing. Okay? Everyone's looking. There are no buttons on a turtleneck, okay? But how you dress is important. If a guy is basically interested in a physical involvement and is willing to play at love to get that, please be careful. Please be careful how you dress. Second one is the law of the harvest. The law of differences dictates that you need to be careful how you dress. The law of differences says you need to know what a guy is interested in from the start. The law of the harvest. Paul says in the book of Galatians, he says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. In other words, he says, don't kid yourself, man. God's not a fool. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. He who sows to his sinful nature will from that reap destruction. He who sows to his spirit will reap eternal life. The law of the harvest, what does that mean? There's two things about a harvest. Two things. And they are this. The harvest is always future. It's always future. And secondly, it's according to what was sown. You plant peas, you get peas. You plant pumpkins, you get pumpkins. It's always according to what is sown. But it's always future. What does that mean? It means that some of you, right in this room, right now, are involved sexually. Okay? That's a fact. Some of you are on the threshold. You and your boyfriend are just about ready to step over. And I would probably assume that the pressure is coming from him, huh? You're about ready to step over. Some of you are thinking about losing your virginity this year. Now, what does this mean? What does this law of the harvest mean? It means simply this. You may be able to go through the entire school year. Some of you maybe did it last year. Never got caught. Nothing ever happened. No one ever knew. And you may do that all the way through graduation and get out of here and never get caught and no one will ever know. But the law of the harvest says this, that there will be a harvest. It's not like the law of the speed limit that can change. It's the law of gravity. It doesn't make a hill of beans difference what you think about it. It's true and it will happen. I'm speaking from personal experience, okay? I am reaping in my life and God is dealing with it, but I'm still reaping in my life things that I planted in my senior year in high school, my freshman year in college in the area of sex. The harvest is future. What kind of harvest? Well, let me throw these things out and see if you knew this stuff. Did you know that people who have sex before marriage have less sexual satisfaction in marriage, longer sexual adjustment in marriage, more prone to adultery? And the girl who has sex with the guy before she marries him carries into that marriage resentment, fear, and guilt. And I could go on. The list is longer. There are no benefits to it other than the immediate pleasure. The law of the harvest says that I pay for the sins that I commit, even if I don't pay for them right now. It's a fact. It's a fact. Okay, what does that mean for you and I? Well, the law of the harvest, I think, means this. And I challenge you to do this before the sun goes down today. Set up what I call the unshakable unbreakables. A list of things that you will not do. I will not. I don't care how long the list is. Okay? What are your standards? What are your moral standards, ladies? Guys, what are they? Backseat of a car in the back room of a party is no place to start thinking about it. Do you know that? What are they? Write them down. Hide them someplace in your house. If you've got two or three close friends, get together. Form a pact. These are our unshakable unbreakables, and sign it and date it. Okay? Second thing, and even more important than the first, establish some no trespassing zones. Some no trespassing zones. Where will you not go? It's not even an option. You won't go there. I will not go to a party where there's no adult supervision. I will not go to my friend's house. I don't know what your no trespassing zones are. But personally, and I don't think I'm misrepresenting the Lord when I say this, it doesn't give God a fair chance for you to get yourself into a situation and say, "Oh God, help me. Don't let me sin. I'm going to set fire to my house and sit in the kitchen, but don't let me get burned, Lord, please." Okay? Don't get there in the first place. Now, I'm not going to say don't do this, don't do that. That's up to you. You're big boys and girls. Okay? Unshakable, unbreakables, and no trespassing zones. Where are you not going to go? Boyfriend says, "Hey, let's go here." "No, sorry. I won't go there." "No, really? Well, no, I won't go there. I've already thought about that. I won't go there." "Well, if you won't go there, then I won't go with you." Your choice. Okay? Getting back to the first one. Guy plays at love because... Okay? Third one. The law of differences dictates this and this. The law of the harvest. Unshakable, unbreakables, no trespassing zones. The last one, the law of the locust years. The law of the locust years. You know, as I talk, some of you are sitting out there and you've really blown it. Some of you have really messed up in the area of sex. There may be someone sitting in this room this morning that's gotten pregnant and had an abortion. Some of you are sexually involved right now and you're thinking, "You know, this stuff makes sense and I really need to deal with this." Okay, let me share this last principle with you because I think this is what you need to hear. Book of Joel, God sent a judgment on the Israelites because they were so wicked. And he sent a swarm of locusts. And they just cleaned everything. Leveled it. Got in the homes, ate everything. Joel 2:25 to me is one of the brightest spots in the Old Testament. Here's what God said to the Jews. He said, "I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten." What's that saying? It's saying this, that God promises that he can take the shambles, the shattered pieces of your life. He can take wherever you are right now, and he can take the pieces that you've shattered, and he can begin to rebuild a new life, an edifice to his glory. He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. And I say that not from the scripture. I say that also from my own personal experience. 16 years ago, when I became a Christian, morally, I was a pig and a mess. I didn't look like one. And God took the shambles of that life and put it back together, okay? God can do that if you're willing to give him a chance. But let me tell you two things about that. I need to be honest with you. I've told my students this. You need to give God at least, as much time to put your life back together as you spent taking it apart, okay? If you've been sexually involved for 2 or 3 years, don't tell God that he's got to do it before the week's out. And secondly, if you want God to restore the years the locusts have eaten, you may have to get rid of the locusts in your life. That might be a boyfriend, might be a relationship, might be a group of friends. I don't know what it is. But I've counseled too many students who've wanted to stay on this side of the fence and have God deal with them and make them into a whole person. And they need to get on this side of the fence. Okay? So God will restore the years of locusts of Eden. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. God will do that. And he's done it in my life and is doing it. But you may need to get rid of the locusts, and you also are going to need to give him time. Okay? If we go back over this, the law of differences, I hope you ladies have gotten something out of that in terms of what's happening in a guy-girl relationship. The law of the harvest, you can invest in your future, or do you want to squander your inheritance now? It's tough. Some of you that are graduating, you girls, and going to state schools, I hope you're prepared to be laughed at for being a virgin if you are. Now is the time in a safe environment to get some of this stuff nailed down. These are my unshakable and breakables. Last one, the law of the locust years. If what I'm saying to you has hit you where you live, then before you leave this room, at least mentally, you need to make a decision. God, this is going to change. By your grace and your help, this is going to change. If you don't make that decision mentally before you leave, you won't make it. Okay? Now, this is tough stuff. This is like swallowing square vitamins, okay? But I love you guys, and I care. I do. You know that. And these are important things, okay? Okay?